God's grace. And
you've been doing notes yet for people?
No.
Oh.
So there's a few things I'm working on. A couple of handouts for the decree, and I do have a printer now, and so that obstacle has been overcome. But I haven't told Dave this yet, but the draw program that came with my computer, it's not worth anything. I'm not going to be. It's pretty bad, and it's pretty frustrating. It's almost worse than some of the plumbing problems. Anyway, but I am working on a few things, and if I get to a point where I get those developed, we will make them available. And so I know Dave has asked me for those as well. Not just Dave, but Dave Penny in Memphis. And so
okay.
It's in the works. I've got some rough drafts. I just have to figure out how to get it down on paper. But in the series on the riches of God's grace, and we've mentioned when you think of grace, you know, grace simply, you know, carries the idea of unmerited favor. And so we're saved by grace through faith. There's nothing we could have done or can do to earn God's favor or the salvation that He's provided. But when you think of grace, and we've made mention of the acronym of GRACE, standing for God's riches at Christ's expense. So for us as the recipients of grace, there is no cost. But there was a cost for God to grace us. And so when you think of grace, God's riches at Christ's expense, it kind of carries that idea that there were some things necessary in order for God to grace us in the way He has. Now, as we started this series, the riches of God's grace, we've been looking at the believer being specially or amazingly in the decree of God. The decree of God is God's counsel, His determinate will, His plan of what He's determined will happen. And we have a special place in that decree, and we've been kind of going over and talking about things that relate to the decree, and then coming back and connecting that to how that relates to the believer. And, you know, one of the things we know from Scripture in regards to God's decree, what He's determined to take place, is that it will be done. It will be carried out. There's no question about it. And so we can see an illustration of that back in Isaiah chapter 46, where he's Israel's being reminded that God is able to carry out His plan and does carry out His plan. And in Isaiah, let me just read that in Isaiah chapter 46, and picking up in verse 9. Remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is none else. I am God and there is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning. And so God doesn't, you know, God sees things instantaneously and completely. He doesn't see things, or needs to have things happen sequentially. He knows the end from the beginning. He sees it all. And so it says, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand. My counsel, my plan, my decree shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. And so he will bring it about. And God's decree, a part of God's decree, deals with God revealing himself. He's revealing himself in his nature to created beings. And so as we've gone through the decree, and we've spent a number of weeks, and we've gone through it, and we've showed you in scripture how the decree starts from God's nature, meaning his essence and his attributes are the source of his desires or his desirous will. But from God's desirous will came his determinate will, that which God has determined to take place. And as we schedule the decree and try and put this in order from scripture, is we see from God's desirous will, there came to be a determinate will. From the council of the persons of the Godhead, there came a council. That's that which the persons of the Godhead determined would take place. And then we see down from that, God had good pleasure in that. That gave God good pleasure, was well satisfied, if you will. And down from that, we came to election. God made choice. God made some choices. And as a result of election, the believer is elect. And so last week we went and worked on the next thing in the decree, would be purpose. And so that which God has determined, that which God has chosen, that became his purpose. And that was the thing that was set forth with intention to bring about a certain result that became his purpose. And so that brings us to the next stage in the decree that we want to talk about today, and that's foreknowledge. And so we're going to touch on a few things dealing with foreknowledge. And so we'll see that the result of foreknowledge in the decree is the believer is foreknown. And so that's going to be important. And we'll see that foreknowledge is in accordance with God's choice and his purpose. And so the order becomes somewhat important, and we'll talk about it when we go back into 1 Peter, and we'll take a look at a translation issue in 1 Peter. Because if we don't get that right, it leaves the door open to not have a full appreciation for God's grace. And so I'll try to explain that and get there. But let's go ahead and open with a word of prayer. I'll try not to be too windy since we're starting late. Although I have had permission from someone online to go long, as I don't really want that today. Father, thank you for the day. We're thankful for your goodness to us, for our time and your word, for the remembrances of the provisions of grace, and just for time with other believers. And thank you for this time that we have before us. May your spirit guide and direct me to thank you in Christ's name. Amen. And so we're looking at foreknowledge in the next step, if you will, in the decree of God, that which God has determined. And as we mentioned, God's foreknowledge is in accordance, or it's down from his choice and his purpose. And so foreknowledge, you see, it has the idea of knowing beforehand, to know beforehand. It's the Greek word, the verb is pragnosko. Pra means before, gnosko means to know. It's our word to experientially know. And so it's a Greek compound word that means just literally to know beforehand. And so God, in the decree, we know he made some choices. And so when it comes to salvation, God chose some out from a fallen human race. He chose some out from a fallen human race. And that became part of his purpose. You could also take purpose up to that which God has determined became his purpose. And down from purpose, we have foreknowledge. And so God knowing beforehand all potentials and actuals that would come from that which he has determined. So he's determined things. And as a result, there's potentials and actuals. But from God's foreknowledge, he's taken all of those things into account in the executing of his plan. And so foreknowledge fits here after election and purpose. The believer is foreknown. And this is going to be important when we get to the next step in the decree where we have the English word predestinated. Now, we don't have an afternoon service next week. So in 2 weeks, Lord willing, we were going to talk about that word because the word predestinated, as it's used in the English, can kind of give a false impression maybe of what that Greek word actually means there. It actually means it's marked off the bounds. So the foreknowledge of God in accordance with his choice and his purpose is also going to be the foundation of him marking off boundaries. And so that's for next time. We want to kind of zero in on foreknowledge for today. And so as we said, the verb prognosko is to know beforehand. It occurs only 5 times in the New Testament. Now, we do have the noun, which is prognosis. You can hear the English word almost. Prognosis. That's where we get our English word, prognosis. That it just has the idea of what is known beforehand. Prognosis. And so we're going to take a look at some of these verses, and then we'll end in a verse that deals with the believer in relationship to the decree. And so let's start with the nouns. We have 2 nouns. And so both times the noun is used, it's to describe things that the Father was previously acquainted with back in the decree. And so the first one deals with where we have a translation issue in 1 Peter. And so in 1 Peter, we talked about this a couple weeks ago. If we go back into 1 Peter, and the translation issue is, if you're looking at a King James or a New King James, you see the word elect in verse 2.
1-2.
Yeah, 1 Peter 1-2. In your English translation, you're going to see elect according to the foreknowledge of God. That word there, elect, should rightfully be in verse 1 before strangers. And so Peter, apostle of Jesus Christ, to the elect strangers or sojourners. Elect goes in verse 1. Now, I'll explain to you that because that has some bearing on how we're going to schedule the decree. And so I wanted to start here and just remind you of that. Because then we have our word, the noun, foreknowledge in verse 2. So let me read verse 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the elect, it should be elect strangers or sojourners of the dispersion. The dispersion. Now he's writing Jews that have been dispersed. He's referring to them as elect sojourners here of the dispersion throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. And now elect is not there in verse 2. It should be up in verse 1. And that's what's down from or according to the foreknowledge of God. That the fact that they are sojourners of the dispersion, that's down from the Father's foreknowledge. He was previously acquainted with that back in the decree. And so he's not saying they're elect down from his foreknowledge. And so if we schedule the decree and you make election down from foreknowledge, it can imply that from God's foreknowledge, God chose the ones that would accomplish his purpose, or, you know, that God was stacking his team because he was picking. It also leads to some people thinking that God chose those that had some good in them or something along those sort. Election isn't down from God's foreknowledge, though. As we've scheduled it, we have down from God's pleasure is the election, and then down from his election we have purpose, and then down from his purpose is foreknowledge. And so God in the decree, he became acquainted with and considered all of the potentials and actuals from that which he determined. Now that's going to be important, because that's going to be, as we'll see in 2 weeks, that's going to be the basis of him setting the boundaries then. And that's, I'm going to use the word setting boundaries rather than predestinated. You'd have to be here in 2 weeks though before I explain that. And so you see the noun though here in First Peter, and for foreknowledge. And so what was down from the foreknowledge of God the Father by sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, he says, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. What we would attach or to the foreknowledge there is that they were sojourners of the dispersion. God knew as a result of his choice of them that this would be the situation they were in other words. And so that'll be important. But we'll let's go on and take a look at the other noun that we have in the New Testament is instructive as well. And so we see that back in Acts chapter 2. And so in Acts chapter 2, of course, this is the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, and we have Peter here addressing a crowd. And he's speaking of Christ after the coming of the Holy Spirit here. And so in Acts chapter 2, in verse 23 is where we're going to have our word foreknowledge. But let's look at verse 22 as well. 2:22, which, I was thinking today is 02:02:2020. But in Acts chapter 2, let's pick up in verse 22, and here we'll just drop right in with Peter. He says, you men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, or the Nazarene, a man approved, or the idea of exhibited of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did through him in the midst of you, as you yourselves also know, him being delivered. Maybe we might comment on this more in 2 weeks, but the word delivered has the idea of marking off. It's horizo. It's not prahorizo, but it's horizo. And so him marked off by the determinate counsel. And so that's going back to the decree and the foreknowledge of God. And so this foreknowledge of God, talking about God the Father, was previously acquainted to what the reaction to his determinate will would be and how these Jews would respond. And so him being marked off or delivered by the determinate counsel, talking about the Lord and the foreknowledge of God, you have taken and by or just through wicked hands have crucified and slain. And so this goes back to the decree. This is something that was planned by the persons of the Godhead. We trace ultimately that the plan that's being carried out is God the Father's plan. But none of this is caught God by surprise. God isn't learning things in succession. He doesn't have to wait for one thing to happen to make a decision on the next. And so he foreknew. He was previously acquainted with all of the circumstances that surrounded his determinate will. And so that's our second noun. Now I want to go and just review the five verbs that we have. Prognosko. And so we're in Acts. Let's stay in Acts. And let's go to chapter 26. And so in chapter 26, now Paul, he's defending himself here before King Agrippa. And we're just using this as an illustration of the word here. Because Paul is going to use this word in defending himself before King Agrippa. And he's using it to describe the Jews' knowledge of him and his lifestyle previously. And so he uses it to describe his previous way of life as a Pharisee to King Agrippa. So let's go ahead and drop in Acts 26. Now our verse is going to be verse 5. But for context, let's pick up in verse 2. And you see here he's addressing King Agrippa. He says, I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day before thee, touching all things whereof I am accused of the Jews, especially because I know thee to be an expert in all customs and questions which are among the Jews. Wherefore I beseech you to hear me patiently. My manner of life, and its physical life here, from my youth, which at the first among my own nation at Jerusalem, know all the Jews. And now in verse 5, you're going to see our word translated, knew me from the beginning. It says, which knew me from before. It's our verbal form. It's actually a participle here, but just knew me from the beginning. They were just knowing from before, which experientially knew me from before, if they would testify that after the most straightest or strictest sect of our religion, I lived a Pharisee. So here you see foreknowledge that he's basically saying that the Jews knew beforehand of his way of life, of living as a Pharisee. And so there you see an illustration of our verbal form for foreknowledge. Let's go back to 2 Peter, and you're going to see Peter use it in an exhortation to these Jewish Christians in 2 Peter. And he's basically using it to exhort these believers based upon their foreknowledge from the word of God. And so we have some foreknowledge based upon the word of God. And so in 2 Peter in chapter 3, now verse 17 is we're going to see about seeing you know these things before. Well, let's back up and see, just pulls back up to, well, we could go further. Let's just go back to verse 13, 2 Peter 3:13. Here Peter says, "Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness." Just righteousness settles down and is at home. "Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless. And account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation." And so, you know, the Lord is long suffering. He suffers long. There's a long holding out of his temper against unrighteousness. And here he's telling these believers to account that as salvation. He says, "Even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given to him, has written unto you, as also in all of his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures unto their own destruction." Now here's our verse in verse 17. He says, "You therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before," just know these things before, just seeing you know these things before, just knowing beforehand, in other words, is just one word, just knowing beforehand, "beware, lest you also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness," or your stability. And so you see here that Peter is exhorting them based upon their foreknowledge, knowing some things beforehand. This is the idea of knowing beforehand. Let's go over to 1 Peter. Another illustration we can use is in 1 Peter in chapter 1. And we have the foreknowledge of God in regards to Christ as the perfect substitute. And so you see this in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 20. And now you're going to see, if you have the King James, you see "foreordained." But that's our word, "who verily was foreknown." So let me pick up in verse 19. Or let's go back to verse 17 for context. And so here you see Peter's exhortation to these Jews. He says, "And if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judges according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear." Fear. The idea of fear of disappointing God. And he says, "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain manner of life received by traditions from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot." So here we were seeing the precious blood of Christ, and as similar as a lamb without blemish and spot, "who verily was foreordained," is what the King James reads, just having been foreknown before the foundation of the world. Now, I understand world here is universe. This is going back to the decree. The Father was familiar. He was acquainted with the things that he had determined and what would take result, what would result as that plan being executed in time. And so before the foundation of the world, he was foreknown as the perfect substitute, if you will. Anyway, there's some interesting things here in the Greek as well. You have what's called the Mendek clause. He's saying on the one hand, Christ was foreknown before the foundation of the world or the universe, kind of as the idea of as a lamb without blemish. And then he says on the other hand, but was manifest in these last times for you, just on account of you. And so there's an illustration of our word to foreknow, to know beforehand. And you see that used of the Father's foreknowledge of Christ as the perfect substitute. Now let's go to another place, our fourth use of the verb. We have a reference to the Father's foreknowledge of Israel, And that's in Romans chapter 11. And, you know, what Paul is doing here in these three chapters in 9, 10, and 11 of Romans is he's demonstrating that Israel's rejection is temporary. It's temporary. And this fits in with God's plan. And it fits in with this, what we would refer to as the Great Parenthesis. There's a book titled The Great Parenthesis. And it looks at the dispensation of the grace from God. The dispensation that we live in is that parenthesis in God's plan for Israel. And God's plan for Israel will be carried out. It will be brought to fruition. All of the promises to Israel, are still in front of them to be fulfilled. But, and so there's a temporary rejection right now. And so let's go to Romans chapter 11. And so you see in verse 2, God has not cast away his people, which he foreknew. And so this is going back to the decree. He's perfectly acquainted with the potentials and actuals as a result of the things that he's determined. And so he foreknew, that, this would take place. Nothing has caught God by surprise. Now, as Paul goes on, he says, don't you know what the scripture says of Elijah? So now he's going to use the illustration to show that God, there's some Jews right now that are, there's a small remnant being saved. And so Paul's using that evidence that God's not done with Israel. So let's just read it on. He says, how he makes, talking about Elijah, makes intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed thy prophets and dig down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. And so this is going back into 1 Kings, and Elijah, he was ready to be done with them. He wasn't seeing things as they really were, though. And verse 4, but what says the answer of God unto him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. And so what God determines, God is able to carry out. That's his purpose. And he says, even so then, at this present time, also there is a remnant according to the election of grace. There's a remnant of Jews down from according to measured by the election of grace. There's not a lot of Jews being saved, but there are some. They're part of the remnant. Now, we know that, and so when he says, God has not cast away his people, which he foreknew. None of this has caught God by surprise. Not one part of it. It's all part of his plan. And when I say Israel will receive all of that they've been promised, it's not going to be because of them. It's going to be because of God. And so you can see, let's just skip down in chapter 11 and just read in verse 25. Paul says, for I desire not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits. That blindness in part, the word blindness has the idea of hardness. That hardness in part has happened to Israel. Until, it's temporary, until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, who shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. That's still in front. That's still in the future. And so God, he knows the end from the beginning. He's foreknown all of the things that are a result of the things that he's determined. It's part of his plan and purpose. And as it relates to Israel, God's not done there. But there is a parenthesis right now. And this is the dispensation of the grace of God. Now let's go to the last use of our verb, and this deals with us in specific. This deals with the believer and this dispensation. And so in Romans in chapter 8, we're going to see in verse 29. And so let's read verse 28. And so in Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that not love, but that are loving. It's a present participle. In other words, to them that are loving God, spirit-filled Christian. All things are working together for good. Then he says, to them who are called according to his purpose. That are called down from his purpose. Now we're going to get to called in a few weeks, because as we're scheduling, we'll see down from God's foreknowledge, God sets the boundaries. And sets the boundaries. And then we're going to have calling after that. And so we're going to be talking about some of these things and putting them into the decree. Now, in verse 29, the for, we could translate it because, it's hati clause in the Greek, because whom he did foreknow. This goes back, remember, to his election. He chose some out from a fallen human race. That became part of his purpose. And down from his purpose, God, in his foreknowledge, became acquainted with all of the potentials and actuals. And so for whom he did foreknow. And so this is why we can say, because of God's foreknowledge, the believer is foreknown. This is going back to the decree in eternity past. And it says, for whom he did foreknow, and here you're going to see salvation is work of God. For him, whom he did foreknow, he also did, and now we're going to, this word we're going to come to in 2 weeks, Lord willing, predestinate. The word predestinate in the Greek, and we'll talk about this further, but I'm going to explain it a little today. It has the idea is he marked off the boundaries. So whom he did foreknow, he marked off the boundaries down from his foreknowledge. So God, being acquainted with all of the potentials and the actuals, he's going to mark off boundaries. He's going to set boundaries, and there's, and we'll talk about boundaries, and there's movement within the boundaries, but God marks off the boundaries down from his foreknowledge to be conformed to the image of his son. And so we're going to have boundaries set that are going to remember what God has determined God will do. And so that he might be firstborn among many brethren. Now let's go ahead and read verse 30, because verse 30 makes it really clear that this is all a work of God. Moreover, whom he did predestinate. This is going back to marking off the boundaries. Whom he marked off the boundaries, them he also called. And so we'll talk about the week after we talk about predestinate or marking off the boundaries. Call. The call is to salvation. And whom he called, them he also justified. He declared righteous. Not based upon the work of the individual being called, but based upon the person and work of Jesus Christ. And so whom he called, them he also justified. He declared righteous. The cross works applied to the person that's called. And so whom and them he also justified, and whom he justified, then he also glorified. In the Greek, it uses the aorist tense that it's already done. It's already accomplished in the mind of God. And so now you can see why Paul would say in verse 31, he says, what shall we then say to these things? And it sounds like it's a done deal. He says, if, and in the Greek, it has the idea of since, and that's how we translate that. It just has, carries the idea of this is true to statement. He says, since the God is for us, he asks the rhetorical question, who can be against us? Who can be against us? And so we will come back and talk about that, but, we see for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate, or he set boundaries. He set boundaries to be conformed to the image of his son. We'll talk about that more. And so down from God's choice, from his purpose, we are foreknown. Every potential and actual is known and considered in God's ultimate plan for us. And so the believer is foreknown. And we know from scripture that down from his foreknowledge that boundaries are set. And so we'll come back to that concept, Lord willing, in a couple weeks. Looking at this English word, predestinate. But I've already given you the clue that it carries more of the idea of boundaries being set. And we'll take a look at that and consider some of the implications. Let's close. Father, thank you for this day. We're thankful for these amazing truths. We're thankful to be a part of your plan and purposes, and we pray your spirit would continue to illumine our minds and our hearts to these truths, that we may have a further appreciation of who you are and what you've provided. May we continue to be appreciative of our Lord and Savior and the things that he's accomplished on our behalf. And we would thank you in Christ's name. Amen.